Leaders. You're listening to Leaders.com.
لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الله يغفر الذنوب جميعا إنه هو الغفور الرحيم صدق الله العظيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم Honorable brothers in Islam, mothers and sisters listening at home, for the past few sessions we have been covering a very important topic, the topic of tawbah, repentance, in reference to the beautiful name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, At-Tawwab. At-Tawwab is the name of Allah, and Tawwab means that it is Allah who accepts your tawbah, your repentance. Our scholars have mentioned that generally there are three reasons why a person succumbs to sins, guna. The first reason is due to ignorance. Due to ignorance. Just to give you an example, sometimes when a person is traveling in a foreign country and he is not aware of the rules and regulations, the laws of that country, so he is driving a car at 70 miles per hour on the road, maybe thinking that this is accepted, but then the local police will put him on the side and warn him or fine him or whatever and tell him that in this country it is only 60 miles per hour, example. And if he says to the police that, sorry, I am a foreigner, I am not aware of the laws here, this ignorance is not a valid excuse. Ignorance is not a valid excuse. If you come to a country, then you must know the rules and regulations, otherwise you must not drive. Likewise, on the day of Qiyamah, someone stands in front of Allah Pak and he says, Ya Allah, I had no knowledge and information that ghibat was guna, backbiting was sins. Oh Ya Allah, I didn't know that to cheat someone was a major crime. Oh Ya Allah, I didn't know that this was wajib or this was farz. And I didn't pray this and I was missing out from my witr salah. Bari ta'ala, I didn't know this. So this is not going to be a valid excuse in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a person, for him not to know something. This does not give him the license to do whatever he wants. That is why Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, it is farz upon the believing men and women to educate themselves in Islam, for them to know what is farz, what is wajib, and what is sunan-e muakkada, zaruriyat-e deen, that much they must know. It is farz. And so pleading ignorance is not an excuse. I didn't know this. Allahu Akbar. Sometimes the reason is that they are influenced by the society they live in. So for an example, they are surrounded by people who are fasiq and fajir. People who have no concern of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. People who don't have adab of Allah and His Rasul. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. People don't have that understanding. And so now if this person even wants to be good, he can't, because now he is thinking, if I become good, what will my dad say? Oh, you're growing a beard now. What will my friend say? Oh, if I go and start namaz and if I say, I'm going for Fajr namaz, everybody will be shocked. Huh? Fajr. Oh. Because he is now surrounded by, they may be Muslims, but surrounded by Fasiq Fajr. Now if he's in his surroundings and if he wants to recite the Quran, they are all amazed. Something's wrong with him. Allahu Akbar. And this really happens. This really happens. When a person moves away from a locality where they are God-fearing people and he assigns himself with those who are fasiq and fajir. Fasiq and fajir. Open sinners. They will eat anything. For them they will eat. For them they are not bothered whether it is halal, whether it is haram. For them there is no such thing as halal or haram. It is just about enjoying. And so sometimes this is a block where a person can't become good. He can't become good. Never mind in the world that we live in, our akabireen were people who were anxious to be buried next to pious people. A person who is living, that is so important that we turn to good people, God-fearing people. But such was the desire that when I die, I should be buried next to this person, next to this person, next to this person. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an wanted to be buried amongst the people of Medina. That Allah give me death in Madinatul Munawwara. Did he not make that request? And he said to his son, go and ask Amma Aisha that if she is going to give me permission, then this is my dream come true, that I am buried next to my very close friend Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq and our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The qurbani, the immense sacrifice of Hazrat Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha. Allahu Akbar. Nobody would do this. This again continues from the topic what we were speaking about in the afternoon, Jumu'ah. That when you love someone, you love him for the pleasure of Allah. So much love was among Sahaba-e Kiram Ajma'een that Hazrat Aisha gave her place. She said, this spot was reserved for me. This is my jagah. I had reserved this area for myself that when I die, I will be buried here. Because both are my mahram. One is my father and one is the husband. But then Hazrat Umar Farooq was buried. And look at the haya that she had. When Hazrat Umar Farooq was buried in her room, then what she did is that she put a curtain across the room. A curtain across the room. And she was also veiling in front. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an was there. So there was one parda and she would be sitting this side and doing whatever she had to do, this half. And if she wanted to give salam to Huzur alayhi salam, she would be in such a way that she is facing Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so sometimes people end up to be in the wrong track, the wrong line because of this. And number three, the most common disease is due to arrogance and pride. Allah save us. That a person knows in his heart what is right and what is wrong. But shaitan empowers him so much, nafs takes over him so much, that he is not prepared to do a U-turn, despite the fact that he knows what is right and what is wrong. Abu Jahl, Abu Lahab, they knew, without a doubt, that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the Nabi and the Rasul of Allah Pak. But pride and arrogance. Shaitan knew that this is the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but takabbur, pride, arrogance. You know, sometimes when a person says something, then that is it. He can't recant. He can't take anything back. He can't do something, what we call, to reverse himself. He won't do it. Takabbur, arrogance. This is all wrong. And one of the reasons why people end up doing guna is they know what is right and what is wrong. These are the three reasons why a person will do guna. But the greatest blessing, the greatest ni'mah, I did mention in the last session, and this topic is so important, that is why I want to dedicate a few sessions so that we really understand the importance of tawbah. We really need to understand the importance of tawbah. Tawbah is the password for Jannah. Remember, brothers, we are, you know, we live in this dunya and we are searching for aliens. We are searching for aliens. Actually, we are aliens in this dunya. We should not look for aliens. We ourselves are aliens. How are we aliens? We human beings are not meant for this dunya. Our father comes from where? Where does he come from? Jannah. Our mother comes from where? Jannah. We are actually aliens in this dunya. And they trespassed and, you know, this high security zone. And they got here. And so, if you want to go back, you have to have this pass also, this security pass to go. And this security pass, that is why the first tawbah in the Quran was by Adam alayhi salatu was salam. Rabbana zalamna anfusana, O Allah, I have wronged myself, I have done zulm, I have oppressed myself. We have oppressed ourselves. Every day the guna that we do, we have oppressed ourselves. Wa illam taghfir lana, O Allah, if you are not going to forgive us, if you are not going to have mercy, lanakunanna min al-khasirin, then we will be from amongst the losers. Today we are walking. When a person gets old, he becomes weak, he can't even walk. Then he becomes so weak that people start to carry him. And then when he dies, he is completely weak. There's no energy, no power, no nothing. People need to carry him and they have to lift the janazah and put him down. We are aliens in this dunya. And we have to have this password. And this password is with iman. La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah has to be attached with this password, with tawbah. For a person to be given visa to enter Jannah. Otherwise it will be declined. It will be rejected. Very difficult. The greatest blessing which opens the door of tawbah is regret and remorse. What is it? Regret and remorse. One of the signs, if somebody says to you, how do you know if Allah likes me or not? If Allah likes me or not? If Allah has opened his heart and inside him is the quality of regret and remorse, then for sure Allah loves him. Regret and remorse is the driving factor towards tawbah. A person can never repent if regret and remorse is not there. Give you an example. Allah save us, if I was to oppress and do zulm on somebody, but in my mind there is no regret and no remorse, and I am thinking what I am doing is right. I have no regret and no remorse. Will I ever have the tawfiq to apologize to him? No, you will never say sorry to him. Why? Because you in your mind think it's fine. You will never say sorry to him. You won't apologize. Because there is no regret and remorse. When regret and remorse is taken out from a person's heart, this is very dangerous. Very dangerous. And when you have regret and remorse, when you are sleeping, then you think that, oh, you know, in the 24 hours, this is what I did was wrong. What my friends told me, this is right. What that person told me is right. What I did is wrong. That is why Sheikh Fudail ibn Ayaz says that a sign of a great individual is that person who accepts the truth. The one who accepts the truth. Very important. So when you have regret and remorse, that is the time you will turn to Allah and you will do tawbah. But if you don't have regret and remorse, you will not do tawbah. One of the reasons our scholars don't like bid'at. What is it? Bid'ah. What is bid'ah? Innovations in Islam. What is it? Innovation. Our akabirin and scholars don't like innovations in Islam. Why? Because a person is never given the tawfiq to do tawbah. Because what he is doing is an innovation, but in his mind it is stuck that what I am doing is good. وَيَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّهُمْ مُهْتَدُونَ What he thinks is right. So he never regrets, he never has any kind of remorse. That is why you will find books have been written against bid'at. Save yourself from bid'ah, save yourself from bid'ah. Follow the sunnah, sunnah. This is the sunnah. Why? Because then the tawfiq is not there. In Farsi, there is a shair that is called Rahmati Haq Bahanami Joyad, which means that for the mercy of Allah, you know, Allah is not asking you the same level of worship. So for an example, if a person has been doing zina, or taking drugs, or has been drinking alcohol, or has been disobedient to his parents, or has been listening to something that is wrong, or he is watching something which is wrong, for 5 years, 6 years, Allah Pak has not said to him, okay, because you did this guna for 5 years, now you want to repent, you have to do good deeds for 5 years. No, not at all. Allah Pak is so merciful. Just a slight change inside you in 20-30 seconds will turn the tables. Will turn the tables. A person has been a kafir for 70-80 years. By him saying, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, everything is done. That is the power. That is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is only looking for bahana. Bahana mi joyan. He's looking for an excuse. In the hadith it comes, there was a man traveling and a tree came down and one of the branches of the tree was blocking the pathway for the musafir, for the travelers. This man stopped and he removed this obstacle, the branch, whatever it was, and he removed it and he continued his journey. He perhaps did not even think of this as something significant or great. But when he passed away, Allah Pak said to him, I am giving you Jannat because of this action. Just removing something that was an obstacle, hindrance to people. Allah gave him Jannat. With his Iman, of course. That is why, my young friends, mothers and sisters that are listening at home, for the sake of Allah. You know, if a doctor tells you that you have cancer, Allah save us. And there is cure in this tablet. And just say there is cure. Bil farz, accept that. That you don't need to do any other treatment, but there is this new medication. And instantly, people who have taken these tablets have been cured. So you have to take these tablets 3 times a day for 1 year. You can't even miss it for 1 day. Truthfully, brothers, what will happen? That person, no matter who he is, he will take the tablets how many days? How many times in a day? 3 times for how many? 1 year. He will take it. But how regular are we in Tawbah? Can cancer be compared to the fire of Jahannam? Allah Pak has given us an easy option. But we are trivializing this easy option. This easy option is just repent. And remember, I said for repentance, for it to be accepted, there are 3 conditions. What are the 3 conditions? I said this last session. Anybody knows? The first, you immediately stop that guna. Immediately stop that sin. Number 2, there is regret and remorse. Number 3, there is this firm resolve that I will not do this again. Anyone with these 3 conditions, Allah has guaranteed his tawbah to be accepted. Even at that time, he is in the right frame of mind. At that moment, these 3 conditions are there. He says, Bari Ta'ala, bas. This is tawbah. Bas. You do tawbah, this is an easy option. Otherwise, if you don't take this option, then the other choice is this. Listen to me, my brothers. You have Jannah here. You have Jahannam here. Jannah, Jahannam. We are aliens living in this dunya, planet Earth. My mother, your father, originally they come from Jannah. So we are musafir here. We are aliens here. The way we are transported from this earth to this zone or this zone is via the process of death. Via the process of death. The body remains in this dunya. The ruh is transported before your body. The ruh is transported before your body. Allahu Akbar. Now, if we don't take the option of tawbah, what will happen? For a person to enter Jannah, he has to be 100% pure from every kind of impurity. So what impurity is Sharia talking about? Dirt? Feces? Urine? No. This impurity is of dunya. When we talk about impurity, it is talking about guna, sins. What is it? So when your soul has been impure with impurity of sins, for a person to enter Jannah, he can't qualify. Because that markaz, this area, is for those who are pure. So now, this person needs to become pure. This person needs to become pure. Do brothers know in India they call those who wash clothes dhobi? What is it? And I've seen it, you know, they don't have washing machines there and, you know, they wash it outside and they smack the clothes. Ta, 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 parte. And you think that the clothes are going to rip any moment now. But they are professionals and outside they will wash it. So there is an option that you either do tawbah or you go through this process of dhobi punishment. How? If you don't do tawbah and you have iman, your iman is pulling you towards Jannah. If there is no iman, you're a kafir, then nothing works. You're a dead person. Even if you're alive, it's finished. But because of your iman, that is pulling you here, Jannah. Now when it's pulling you towards Jannah, the problem is it's not giving you access because there is impurity. So difficulties and calamities come to you as means of compensation. So now a bit of difficulty comes, a bit of difficulty comes. Even then, if he is not compensated to be a pure person, so the problems of this dunya did not clean him enough, then Malakul Maut at the time of Sakarat will give him a painful death. What will he give him? Painful death. So Sakarat will become difficult. You know, when Sakarat does not come out and a person is just in that mode for 3-4 days, Allah save us. So Sakarat can be painful. Now if Sakarat was painful but still this man has got so many sins, then again the third option is that there is punishment in the grave. Then even punishment in the grave does not suffice to make this person pure. Then there is difficulty on the day of Qiyamah. He will suffer there. Now he is still not pure even on the day of Qiyamah. Allah save all of us. Then for a short period of time he will have to make an entry into the fire of Jahannam. Now Jahannam is that place that everybody is compensated for what they did. And then when Allah has punished him for the sins that he did and he is then brought out, then between Jannat and Jahannam there is a pool of water stream. It's called Nahrul Hayat. What is it called? Nahre Hayat. What is it called? Nahre Hayat. For those who come out from Jahannam, their skins will be black and burnt and they will be smelling. Now for them to go into Jannah, the treatment is that there is this Nahar water, it's called Nahre Hayat. The angels will take that person into that water and he will do ghusl. And then when he comes out from that water, Allah will give him a clean body. Now he is pure and then he can enter Jannah. Now imagine, we are alive. What is an easy option? Tawbah or all that which has been mentioned? Tawbah. Tawbah is so simple. But shaitan does not allow a person to do tawbah because he wishes a person to go through this process. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. There are two people, same age, for 5 years they have been doing the same guna. Say drugs, they've been taking drugs. You know, for me it was difficult to see that, you know, our lot take drugs. But recently I saw even Muslim girls, they are doing drugs. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save this ummah. Allah save this ummah. Wrong company and things can go wrong. A person has been taking drugs for 5 years. Say he has used drugs 100 times. But this one person is different to this person. This person is taking drugs, but every time he takes drugs, he is always repenting in the night and saying, Bari Ta'ala, tomorrow I am not going to use it. Sincerely I do tawbah, repent, remorse, regret, everything, the three conditions he meets. And then after 2 days again, you know, he is a human being and he can't take it and it's very difficult, bichara, shaitan drags him and he falls again. Falling again, he does repent, regrets, and this is his attitude all the time. If he does anything wrong, tawbah, tawbah, tawbah. Now this person, he's doing everything wrong, but the shaitan puts in his mind, why are you fooling with Allah Pak and making a mockery out of him? You are going to do this tomorrow, so why are you doing tawbah? So now he stops doing tawbah. Stops doing tawbah. Now when these two people die and when they stand in front of Allah Pak, the difference is both were using guna for 5 years, but this person has an advantage because for 5 years he was also doing tawbah. Therefore the sins are minimal, very few compared to this person's guna. This person's guna is much more because he did not use the eraser. A person is writing bad things in a book, then he is erasing it. Then he writes again, and then he erases. Writes again, erases. But one person is writing, and not using the eraser. That means it's there, it's always there. So that is why Tawbah is an eraser, my brothers. And when a young person does Tawbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves him. Inshallah, just to conclude, 5 benefits of Tawbah. Number 1, the fact is that when a person does Tawbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will wipe out his sins with guarantee. If somebody says to you that, don't worry, I will give you £50,000. Then you start to wonder, will he give me, will he not give me? You know, are you sure? Do you think, will he fulfill his promise or not? But Allah Pak is saying, I promise you with guarantee. These 3 conditions, whatever guna you did, I will forgive you. So Allah Pak will forgive your guna. Number 2, that person becomes the beloved to Allah. Who does not want to become the beloved to Allah? Inna Allah yuhibbu at-tawwabin. Understand, if the whole world is happy with you, everybody is happy with you, Allah is unhappy, then is it of any benefit? No. If the whole world is unhappy with you, everyone is unhappy with you, but Allah Pak is happy with you, that is it. He has won. Second benefit is that Tawbah. When a person does Tawbah, Allah loves him. The third benefit, Allah gives him contentment of the heart. Allah takes away from him depression and anxiety. He becomes happy. Why? Because when a person does a lot of guna sins, then the body is occupied by shaitan, and it is shaitan that makes a person very miserable. But when he does Tawbah, he is cleansing himself and he is becoming pure. So that means that, mashallah, there is no depression. The fourth benefit is, Allah opens the doors of barakat in sustenance and livelihood. That he is earning a wage packet, Allah gives him a lot of barakat in that wage packet. He can do a lot of things in that wage packet. But if a person is working somewhere where he is dealing with alcohol and things that are haram, maybe his salary will be double, triple, but there is no savings, there is no barakat. He will see that he doesn't find himself to be in that position where he can enjoy his life. But when a person does tawbah, that Allah puts barakat in his livelihood. And the most important blessing is when a person is in the habit of doing tawbah, Allah gives him khatima bil khair. His death comes with iman. So inshallah we are going to do tawbah. Inshallah. We should value iman. We should value iman. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sitting in the company of the companions, and one sahabi came and he narrated his story before he became a Muslim. So he said to Huzur alayhi salam, Ya Rasulullah, I want to say something to you. I had this favorite idol that I would worship, idol. And I loved my God, this idol that I would worship. So this idol would be in front of me in the house all the time. I would worship this idol. Whenever I would travel, I would take this idol with me. And when it is time for worship, I would also worship my idol in my safar. So this idol, this God of mine, in the form of an idol, was everything to me. I got very happy. And then he says, one day when I was traveling, I forgot to take my idol with me. I forgot to take my idol with me. So I was in great pain, suffering. What has happened? So he said, what I did is that I had boiled for myself some wheat. I had some food in the form of wheat. So what I did is that I took the wheat and I shaped it like my idol. I gave it a shape of an idol. That this is my idol. Now because I forgot my idol at home, I made my idol out of this, the wheat that I had with me. Gyu. And when it came for the time of worship, I put this made up God in front of me, made of wheat. And I started praying to it. And then I was traveling alone, and then I really got hungry. I really got hungry, and there was no food, and it was dark. Then I looked at my idol and I says, "Look, I'm so sorry, but I'll have to eat you. I'm so sorry, but I will have to eat you." And this Sahabi says that this has happened, that the thing that I was worshipping, because it was made out of something that I could eat, it was food for me, it was my pack lunch. So then I had no choice to save myself. You know, I was hungry and I had to consume that idol, and I ate the wheat. And so that idol is in my stomach. I took it inside me. All of the Sahaba started to laugh. Everybody was laughing. Hey, kaisa aadmi? But this Sahabi started to cry. This man started to cry. And he looked at Huzur alayhi salam. He says, "O Nabi of Allah, I mentioned this to you not so that the companions can take it as a joke or for people to laugh." He said, "O Nabi of Allah, I said this to you to thank Allah and to thank you, O Nabi of Allah, that what a great blessing it is for me to find you. If I did not find you, I would have been burning in the fire of Jahannam. But O Nabi of Allah, it is your barakat. Because of you, Allah has given me iman. I am crying, and these are tears that are flowing. Imagine if you were not there, what would have happened to me? That Allah gave insaniyat hidayat through this great paighambar, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Today Allah has given us hidayat by this great Nabi, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Why don't we take honor and pride to follow his identity and in his path?" Allah Pak give us all the tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Just 2-3 minutes muraqabah, please. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidina Muhammad. Allahumma taqabbal minna wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Sami'na wa ata'na ghufranak rabbana wa ilayka al-masir. Bi rahmatika ya Rabb.